My lesson this morning, I'd like to go in your Bible, is go ahead and turn to the reading the first chapter. I'm going to be posing a question. And the question is, can a man flee from God? Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof. And he went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone out into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then he said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may become unto us? For the sea is wrought and tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall become for you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. But they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from a raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. The book of Jonah is in the Bible. Yet the book, as well as Jonah, has been objects of tremendous criticism. Some question the authenticity of Jonah and the book, but the criticism has been unjust. How do we know? Well, we can read in our Bibles that Jesus confirms the story to be true. Matthew says there in Matthew chapter 12:38, one could read, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, would see a sign from thee. Verse 30 says, But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 nights. Verse 41, The men of Nineveh shall rise and judge with this, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The purpose this morning is not to deal with the criticisms, but rather to note some object lesson from the text. Of the many things, strange things set forth in the book, perhaps none is stranger than Jonah's feeble attempt to flee from the presence of God. It's worth noting that Jonah knew Jehovah, worshipped Him, was both a messenger. In spite of those facts, Jonah actually made his own plans, attempting to flee somewhere beyond the presence of God. Jonah told, No, I'm not going to do it. Jonah wanted to hide from the presence of God. And look in Genesis 3 and verse 8, Adam and Eve there tried to hide from God. It's sin. And they heard God in the garden. In the middle of the day, wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Let us remember that God is everywhere, omnipotent, almighty. Revelation 19, verse 6 says, And I heard as it was a voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. God is omnipresent, meaning He's present where at the same time. Jonah here had no desire for the Lord began to oppose the will of Jonah. How are things that much different today? Man does not oppose God unless it's when God directs man to go where he doesn't want to go that conflict arises. It's when God directs man to do things to rise. Here in Proverbs 3 and verse 6 we can read, In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and direct thy path. In short, man has always sought to do as man pleases, not as God pleases. That's exactly why there is so much religious division and chaos in the world today. From the time of Adam and Eve until the time the Lord comes again, things will not change. In the time we have today, let's take time to notice 4 important points we can learn from Jonah. First, we see the Word of God did in fact come directly to Jonah. Remember, God initially spoke directly to man, prophets, and now through Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, read, Who at sundry times and in diver manner spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He had appointed heir of all things, by whom He also made the world. Does the Lord not continue to speak to mankind today? Yes, and how does He speak to us? Through our reading, speaking, rightly dividing the Word of God. By faithfully attending Bible studies, by listening to the preaching of the gospel, by teaching one another in song. And Ephesians 5 and 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Also, by being steadfast and breaking of fellowship, giving and prayer. Acts 2 and verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. By failing to do any and all of these things, men and today are hopelessly lost. God's method of talking to man has changed, but our obligation to obey Him has not changed. Our service to God is just as important today. Secondly, we see Jonah here given what he perceived to be an unwelcome charge. The record clearly indicates that Jonah did not want to do what God told him he must do. It appears that Jonah, like many others at the time, misunderstood his attitude toward people who were not of Jewish race. God originally, of course, intended that all men the world, and it became necessary for God to have a covenant with His chosen people. A way to deal with Acts 17, verses 26 through 28 read, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after. So He is not far from every one of us, for in Him we live, move, have our being, as certain also of your own poets, for we are also His. Man is always moral agency or liberty to choose the way that he or she will go. Acts 14, 17 say, who at times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, He left him not Himself without witness in that He did good. He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons with gladness. In man's finite mind, general choice is broad or easy, the easy way. Yet a loving God continues to have it even covenant relationship with Him. Second, verse 9 reads, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that all repentance. Acts 10 and verse 34 and 35 say, "Mount say, I perceive that God is a respecter of persons, but in every and worketh right accepted." Here we say, even children of God frequently, i.e., the children of Israel. Nearly all the first letter to Corinth is a sad commentary on the people. Man would surely be in bad shape if not for Christ trying to get us to repent. We criticize Jonas for his seeming lack of interest in the disobedience of other nations. The Lord perceives many of us as doing any better than at times. Jesus said here in Mark 16 and verse 15, "Go and teach the gospel to all." How are we doing? Jonah chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2 here. Strongly in Jonah felt and what was on Jonah's mind. In verse 1 it says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, great of kindness, and repentest thee of evil." He thought the people of Nineveh might just repent. Jonah felt that a blessing to those people would somewhat be a blow to him and his people. No doubt Jonah, in his mind, conscience at least, was faced with a dilemma. Whatever the motive or reason for his attitude, Jonah simply decided to disobey God and do so at any cost. What an air of indifference. What a lack of care for others. Consider today, are men and women so different today? Or God first is an unwelcome charge. How tragic that is. Bottom line, men and women will do what they want to do because there is a clear conflict of interest. That is, when it conflicts their own interest. In Matthew 6 and verse 33 there, we can read, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you." Third point this morning. Thirdly, we see an irrational and foolish Jonah make an attempt to do the impossible. There were only two courses open to Jonah. Think about that. No multiple choices. Not hard. Tarshish, a city that lay at the end of a rebel's road, a city in which he would have to walk without the fellowship of God, who he disobeyed, he would truly be on his own. Or Nineveh, a city where he could go and be in fellowship with God, a city where he could live peaceably, a city where he could clearly abide within the confines of God's will. Now compare Jonah with mankind today. We clearly have only two choices. We each have a Tarshish, a city, have it your own way, and do as you're. A do your own thing city, if you please. Or, we have our own Nineveh, that is. A do our own duty to God city. Our Nineveh may be near or far, individual circumstances. On the surface, the choice is easy. Why not just go to where God wants us to go? Here we see that Jonah chose Tarshish, seeking to flee from the present, equivalent to fleeing from duty. Life is filled with choices. This is one of the most important choices. Hebrews 11 says Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God, enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Fantastic scripture here. I love this in Joshua. Joshua puts 24 and verse 15. It says there, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." Your father served that blood of land you dwell. But as for me and my house, serve the Lord. Scripture. Left on his own, how does man in general do? Look around, brothers and sisters, at the world today. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable of God." Yes, on the surface, the choice is easy. But the gospel is God's power to save in Romans 1 and verse 16. But by far too many men and women today. Our last point this morning deals with the inevitable consequences of the choice or the choices that we make. In Matthew 6, chapter 4, should be. He says here, "If any man will come after me, let him deny and follow me." What about you today? Are you carrying the cross of Christ? Are you following Him? God will deal harshly with those who willingly allow sin to rule lives. 2 Corinthians here says in verse 5, in chapter 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." No question that the Lord is patient. He has delayed judgment. But He is by no means overlooking the sin in our lives. Let's go ahead and turn to 2 Peter and read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Says there, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Here also we can see by reading the rest of Jonah, all four chapters, the Lord is. The Bible is nothing but, if you look at it and read it, talking about how good and how patient and loving that He is. Remember, the Lord waited 20 years in the day of Noah. The Lord allowed Abraham time to find 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, and finally only 10 before destroying Sodom. Question today is, unsuccessfully to either hide or flee from God as Jonah. Where are you headed this morning? Are you headed Let's go ahead and take out our song. Song of invitation that Brother Glendon has selected. This time this morning, we're given the time and opportunity to come together as Christians to think about the lesson that was preached and the lesson that was taught. To search our minds and search our hearts, knowing what God wants us to do. We have a time and opportunity to come up here and to give our lives, make our lives right with God and make it right with Him. We have a baptistry here behind me, able to baptize you here this morning into Christ. And we also have this time and opportunity for those that have fallen away from God to give them the opportunity to search their hearts and their minds and come forward. We'll see in my next lesson also how it's going to be worse for those that have turned their lives away from God after all the grace and everything that He has bestowed upon us. So if you feel compelled this morning in any way, not a Christian or a Christian that may have erred and fallen away, come up as we stand and sing the song of invitation.